From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
This is kind of where I started. This was Lucy.
This was West Philadelphia Councilwoman Janie Blackwell's first public statement since she lost last week's Democratic primary.
When I came here, you couldn't even sit on the front row unless you were a senior member. They allowed me to take the seat because I was Lou's wife. So I've been in this chair for a long time. I'm honored to be here. My first seat and my last.
Together, Blackwell and her late husband, Lucian, have held this seat for 45 years. Now, a political dynasty in Philadelphia is coming to an end.
All those who have the money came after my district big time, and that was the issue. It wasn't even about me, I've been told.
When the Blackwells took office, West Philly was different. It had no skyscrapers. It was largely a poor and working class community, which formed the Blackwells' base. Now West Philly has its own skyline, and new developments are changing the demographics of the area. So why was Blackwell the only district council person to lose re-election this year? And does her defeat speak more to a changing district or to her own record? Today on The Why Janie Blackwell lost.
I'm Dave Davies, senior reporter here at WHYY. I covered Lucian Blackwell, Janie Blackwell's husband, in the 80s and 90s, and then Janie Blackwell when she became a councilperson.
And I'm Jake Blumgart. I'm a reporter with WHYY's Plan Philly. I've covered City Hall for a few years now, and I also kind of focus on a lot of areas that council members have, you know, a lot of control over. I cover things like zoning and land use, which district council members like Blackwell have a huge amount of power over.
So, Dave, the Blackwells have been a legacy in West Philadelphia for almost 50 years, and that started with Janie's late husband, Lucian Blackwell. Tell me about him.
He was one of the original figures of the independent black political movement that grew up in the city in the 1970s. He served in Korea, was decorated, he was a boxer. He then went to the Longshoremen's Union, became president of the union, and then got into politics and was elected to council in 1975.
And what was he like politically? What was he known for?
Lucian Blackwell cared about the poor too much. Cared about you was wrong. I don't want to be right.
All right. All right. All right.
He was a fiery speaker on the floor of council and kind of came up as an insurgent. You know, he actually ran for mayor in 1979 under the slogan Lucian the Solution. But once in council, he became a real power player and somebody very comfortable being an insider. He would sometimes give fiery speeches.
We're here to help you. We're going to do it, but God helps those who help themselves.
But he was one of the people who would be on the inside negotiations working out how the convention center would be funded or how the city budget would be resolved. And he also had some serious legislative work. He was the author of the Minority Set-Aside Ordinance in 1982 that really required some piece of city business to go to minorities. But he, unlike his wife later, was kind of an insider and comfortable exercising discretion and making deals.
And so let's talk about his wife. When did Janie come into the picture?
Janie was Lucian's second wife. His first wife, Gloria, he had six children with. Janie was a school teacher and taught some of Lucian's kids. She was 15 years younger, and they were married in 1972. And all the years that I covered Lucian as a councilman, Janie was his aide, his chief of staff. She's the one that really ran constituent services. Whenever you went past the Blackwell's office in City Hall, you would always see people lined up there who needed help. Because word got around that if you were in a bad straits and you needed something, go see the Blackwell's office. And this was true when Lucian was there, and it was true when Janie later occupied the office.
So Lou resigned to run for Congress in 1991, and so Janie ran for his seat, right?
Right. She was the logical pick. She was the Blackwell franchise. And as I recall, there wasn't a whole lot of competition. People felt very comfortable in her taking her husband's seat.
Okay. So she gets on to council. And what is she like? What does she do?
She really hews her own course. Like her husband, she spends a lot of time dealing with the constituent needs, particularly of poor constituents. But she just wasn't afraid to go around doing things that other people thought were kind of out of bounds. One of the classic examples was in 1993, there was a homeless encampment near the Market Frankfurt subway line in the station right across from the new Marriott Convention Center Hotel. And this was at a time when the city was trying to rebuild its economy and really emphasizing tourism and hospitality. And 80 or 100 poor people sleeping in the subway wasn't exactly the image that, a lot of people in the city and people in the government wanted. Mm-hmm. Janie went down there with an aide named Michael Youngblood and would feed these folks. And it kind of drove officials crazy. And she got into a confrontation with police one time. She and her aide were actually detained. And that's an example of her just doing things her own way. And it continued all throughout the 1990s.
So, Jake, you've been covering Janie Blackwell for the past few years. What have been some of your interactions with her?
So, I would say that she has definitely been one of the more erratic members of City Council in terms of her legislative track record when I've been covering City Hall. There have been a number of bills that just kind of seem like she gets like one or two constituents complaining to her, and then she introduces a large sweeping piece of legislation to basically deal with this very narrow complaint.
What are some examples of that?
There was one that really jumped out at me a few years ago where she introduced something that if anyone in Philadelphia wanted to put a piece of street furniture or like a planter or something on the sidewalk in front of their home, which they already have to get like permission from L&I, they would
Licenses and inspections.
Yes, from the Department of Licenses and Inspections. They would also have to go to their district council person and get permission from them, which would just create a staggering amount of work and would really be quite a kind of just like a lot of additional paperwork. And it's just a very unrealistic bill. She ended up shelving it because there was so much pushback.
So, Jake, you wrote about one incident involving a building in West Philly that the city wanted to sell and just how Janie Blackwell handled it. What happened?
So, land deals are really very wonky, but they're important because they're one of the main ways that city council can flex their power because council legislation is needed to sell public land. So in this case, there is a building in West Philadelphia that the city poured a ton of money into for the new police department headquarters. There were a whole series of circumstances that led to the city abandoning that plan, but they'd already sunk $50 million of taxpayer money into rehabilitating this structure in West Philadelphia. And as long as it was just sitting there unused, it was just bleeding more and more money. So they wanted to get it off the city's books as quickly as possible. And the Kenney administration put it up for bid. And there was this pitch that was selected that was a health campus. And pretty much all the interest groups involved were pretty excited about this idea. And the only person who wasn't on board, it seemed, was Janie Blackwell. And she was just holding up this land sale. It turned out there was a wealthy property owner in her district who really wanted some things from the city. And she appeared to be holding up the entire deal to basically get the mayor to commit to working with this guy on projects that were totally unrelated to 4601 Market. So one day she was continuing to hold up the land sale and she got this letter on the floor of council. So I asked her what was in the letter. She wouldn't tell me. She kind of evaded my question and the question of other reporters. And it later turned out that there was just a one-line letter from the mayor basically assuring her that he would continue to work with her to deal with the concerns of this wealthy businessman moving forward. And after receiving that letter, she reversed course and allowed the bill to move forward.
So here we have a situation where the majority of people want this deal to move forward. But Janie Blackwell is holding it up because one wealthy businessman in her district who has a lot of power and has her ear is asking her to, right?
Right. That is certainly what it looked like. I think it raised a lot of concerns among at least a chunk of her constituents about who she was actually representing on council.
There have been times, the most recent example is up at 46th and Market in the development up there where she's leaning one way and then she moves to a different direction, and it's not making sense to me why the movement happened. And so then I look at, well, who influenced at that point? So
I was surprised that she lost, just because she's been there for so long and she's such an institution. Jake, were you surprised?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I was certainly surprised. I talked to voters in West Philadelphia over the course of that day. And again, that was obviously just anecdotal, but almost everyone I talked to was voting for Blackwell. I was all over the parts of West Philly on the edge of the city. Most of the voters I talked to leaving the polls would tell me they voted for her.
I think that Jenny Blackwell would be a good candidate to come back and see what she can do for our city. I've known Lucian Blackwell that passed away, and I've known Jenny Blackwell. She seems to be a good candidate. I think they should bring her back in office and make her do things good for the community.
They remembered her husband. The family had been in charge forever, and they were doing a pretty good job.
Well, I just feel like she has a long proven track record of producing results for her constituents, for our community.
By the time election night rolled around, I was like, oh, Blackwell's got this in the bag.
Let's go to the third district council race, where it certainly appears that Jamie Gaudier has prevailed over the incumbent Jenny Blackwell. And let's head out to Gaudier headquarters. Standing by is WHYY's Jake Blumgard. Jake?
Hi there. Yeah. Jamie Gaudier is claiming victory in West Philadelphia over...
So Jamie Blackwell was defeated by a political unknown, Jamie Gaudier. Who is she?
In West Philly, where diverse cultures come together and people are incredibly civically engaged, we can lead in solving some of the biggest challenges facing our city.
So she is a longtime West Philadelphia resident. She was the head of one of the neighborhood groups there for a while. She was also the head of the Fairmount Park Conservancy, which is a nonprofit group. And she also has a background in urban planning. And as far as I know, she, when she takes office, will be the only renter on Philadelphia City Council.
Hmm. Why is it significant that she's a renter?
Because based on my conversations with her, when I've asked her what her kind of policy priorities are going to be getting into office, she's talked a lot about how Philadelphia has enacted a number of protections for low-income homeowners, which is true. That's something City Council has really been on point about. But we haven't done very much for renters who are at risk of being displaced as kind of prices rise in a lot of neighborhoods right around Center City. And so she has emphasized to me in our conversations that that's going to be one of her number one priorities.
You know, most of the time when we talk about gentrification and displacement, we focus squarely on home ownership, and that's absolutely a big piece of the issue. But I also think that we have to have more protections for our renters. Renters in this district are incredibly vulnerable. About 50% of the folks renting in this district are what's called housing insecure, so they pay more than 50% of their income on their rental cost. And we have to deal with that.
Dave, what did she do to win this race? Like, why did this happen?
She raised a lot of money and worked really hard at it, whereas Janie didn't raise a lot of money, at least until the campaign began. Gaudier also had significant help from a group called Philadelphia 3.0. It's a group that emerged in 2015, funded largely by business interests that advocates for what it says is good government and a growth-oriented strategy and term limits. And they put a lot of effort into beating Jamie Blackwell and putting Jamie Gaudier in council.
Jamie Blackwell, you know, sailed through re-election basically her entire career. What was different this year? Why was she challenged in a real way?
Now, you never know when a real challenger will come along. And in this case, you had someone who was determined, had an idea about what she wanted to do and knew how to raise some money and do it. And as Jake explained, I think it was a time at which there were questions about the way Janie exercised the authority of her office. And those two things together and the fact that Janie hadn't raised a lot of money put her at a disadvantage. And again, you can't discount the effort of this outside group, which spent, I think, about $300,000 on an independent expenditure effort to help Jamie Gaudier beat Janie Blackwell.
And I think it's also important to note the ways that the district had changed. There is a certain chunk of her district that's kind of to the west of the universities and whatnot, where the racial demographics have changed wildly. You had a kind of, in 2000, some of these neighborhoods had kind of like white populations that were around like the 20% number. And as of 2010, they had switched to being in like the 60% area. And there are also kind of these wards where people really come out to vote.
What does Janie Blackwell's loss mean for the sort of independent black political movement that she and her husband were so much a part of?
Well, I think that that movement has achieved what it needed to, which is to put blacks on the stage as players in this city. And they've been, you know, black candidates have been running for major offices ever since, winning and losing. I don't think it's anything like what it was in the 1970s when that very idea was troubling to white voters. I think things have really changed in that respect.
And we should note that Janie Blackwell was defeated by a black woman.
Right.
So what does Janie Blackwell's defeat mean for this district?
Time will tell. We don't know right now. But I think that the backers of Jamie Gauthier would say that what we will have now is governance of the council office, which is less a matter of individual relationships and personal whims, and more, you know, an office that takes broader policy concerns and their merits into consideration and more broadly represents the district with more attention to the technical and legal aspects of government, which you really have to have a handle on.
Dave, Jake, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Our intern is Xavier Lopez. Tweet me at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.